Hello and welcome to the Dot Ball Cricket Podcast. This is our second episode of the 2024-25 season. I'm Ken Borland, and it's a very great pleasure to have two former Proteas with me in spin bowler Paul Harris and all-rounder John Kent. And we'll be discussing Proteas, both the men and the ladies, and of course the domestic cricket currently happening in South Africa. We're coming to the business end of the CSA T20 Challenge. John Kent, great to have you back with us, and a big welcome to Paul Harris, who we haven't had the pleasure of his company for a while. Paul, what have you been up to since we last had you on the podcast?
How's it, Ken? How are you doing? Good to be back. Work, kids, family, normal things, I think. Yeah, kids are growing up, high school next year, so I've been missioning with all that. And, just been keeping busy at work. A good thing to be busy. It keeps me out of trouble.
Great to hear, Paul. So, guys, I guess the big cricketing news of the last week was another South African, I don't want to say failure, another mishap at a Cricket World Cup. Our ladies losing out to New Zealand in the final of the Women's T20 World Cup in the United Arab Emirates, in Dubai, to be more exact. John, it seems fair to say that our Proteas just didn't quite bring their best game to the final, whereas New Zealand, they had a very good game, didn't they?
Yeah, I think in the semis there was a brilliant performance put in all round. And I thought, you know, even in the final at stages when we were, you know, when we were bowling, I thought they never were really getting away from us at any point, and we feel like we're hanging on for dear life. I think, you know, we had some skillful players in our side, the Mlaba taking wickets again, having a great tournament, which was wonderful for her and her development in the world game. But obviously, I think the thing that seemed to be cropping up quite a bit in the last couple of games is obviously the number of extras that were being conceded. And that was quite disappointing, considering, you know, you can control those sort of things, the no balls, lots of wides. You know, if you think you're getting 12 of those a game, you know, that's the 12 runs and the additional balls that can be scored off as well. So it could cost you 20, 25 runs possibly at the end of the day. And that's basically the winning margin that New Zealand beat us by in the end. So I suppose that'll be the disappointing, you know, part about that final game.
Yeah, I must say, when New Zealand got to 158, I thought, well, that's a big score for a final, a very good total in those conditions. And I didn't think we were favourites at the halfway point. Paul Harris, South Africa replying with 126 for 9. How would you rate that batting effort?
I think I echo John's sentiments. I think we played our best game, unfortunately, in the semi-final. It was a hell of a game to beat that Aussie team. It's a very good side. Even though their best player was injured, it's still a hell of a side. So it was a great effort to beat them. And unfortunately, that was the main game. I think in the final, probably didn't rock up with the ball. I think too many extras, as John said, and then they got away with it a bit at the end. And then, you know, I think it was just too much for the South African batters to chase down in the final. I think I agree with you. I think 159 is a pretty decent total in the ladies' game in a final. So, one stretch too far again for a South African team. But you know what? We keep knocking on that door and keep doing the right things. If you look at how the South African ladies' game has improved over the last 5 years, I think a lot of credit's got to go to them, the coaching staff, everybody involved. I think they're turning into a really world-class outfit and some superstars in that side. So you've got to give them a lot of credit, although it is sad that we couldn't lift the trophy again. You know, the teams are doing the right things.
Absolutely. I think any time you make a final, you've got to consider the campaign to be a success. I mean, I think any final is always a 50-50 game. So well done to our Proteas ladies. Both of you guys have played in finals. How much credence do you give to the theory that maybe the Proteas women kind of played their final in the semi-final against Australia? Because that was just like the perfect game. That was just such a magnificent effort to beat Australia in the semi-finals. How difficult is it to get up to that emotional level again, that sort of clinical play, a few days later in the final?
I'll grab it if you want, Paulo. Yeah, there's a lot of emotion, a lot of joy after that Australian win. And I would have thought, you know, we're on a high, we sort of keep on that note in a way, not sort of come down from it, I suppose. But maybe, you know, a couple of days in between, you maybe start thinking over things a bit more, start mulling over a few outcomes before you've got there. Yeah, I don't know, Paulo, what do you think of that?
Yeah, look, I think you in sport in general, you're looking to produce your best in the biggest games. Unfortunately, in the final, it wasn't there. In the semi, it was. We see it in sport. It happens often. It happened in the previous Rugby World Cup, not the one now, the previous one, when England played their best game against the All Blacks, beat them. And then in the final, you know, the Springboks had their best game probably ever in the final. So these things do happen. It is unfortunate that, you know, we couldn't produce our best in the biggest game on the biggest stage. But like I said before, if we keep doing the right things often enough, you know, that we're going to get this off our back. One of our teams is going to win a final. You know, we're getting better and better. At least we got the semi-final voodoo off our back and made it one step further. But, you know, you've got to produce your best in the biggest games. And unfortunately, we just haven't managed to do that.
I think it's important to also note that, you know, the opposition's allowed to play well too. And, you know, you can only play as well as the opposition allows you to. And I thought New Zealand were really top class. The way they came out with the bat, very positive, very aggressive, kind of knocked the Proteas off their stride a bit, did very well in the power play. And then also, you know, with the ball, I thought that New Zealand attack, after a good start by Laura Wolfart and Tasman Brits, fought back really well. And it's funny to me, probably the turning point in the match, I think, was the eighth over in the South Africa innings bowled by Leah Tahuhu. She didn't take a wicket, but she only conceded one run. And you could just see Laura Wolfart at the other end just getting anxious, just getting frustrated as she just watched the required run rate climb and climb. First ball of the next over, she hits straight to cover, trying to go over the infield. And she's out, and that's our two best batters, most informed batters out. And from there, it was just a bit of a downhill run from there. But just looking at some individual performances from the T20 World Cup, Laura Wolfart and Tasman Brits were the two leading run scorers in the tournament, which is absolutely fantastic. And Nonkululeko Mlaba was the second leading wicket taker. So, you know, there were some great individual displays. John, just your impressions of the South Africa batting throughout the tournament, and especially Laura Wolfart and Tasman Brits at the top. And I guess Annika Bosch, a bit of a breakthrough tournament for her as well.
Yeah, that Wolfart, I'm loving the way that she's attacking that power play a lot more these days than she used to. So, it's, you know, it's really great to watch how expansive, and she has that power game. As well as Bosch in batting at three, there's a, you know, interesting position, a tough one at times. But I like the way she's brought in some sweep shots. She's brought in the reverse sweeps, and those worked brilliantly against Australia. They didn't really have any answer to it. I think in terms of Brits, yeah, she's getting the runs, no doubt about it. I think what maybe I'd like to see maybe her try and also pick up a few more boundaries in that first six overs, because if she's going at a run a ball, maybe she could grow a little bit more in that space, you know, for future tournaments. But I also like the way, touching on options, like Luce was bowling again, which was really positive. And she actually bowled quite well. And then Tryon, the left arm orthodox, you know, she's bowling more, and that's very useful. So we got a lot of spin options, which is, you know, we're playing all these tournaments these days. So it's good to have. And Seshni Naidu as well, who looks like a young mystery leg spinner coming through, who's very young still, but was in the squad. So I think that's that area of our team is looking really good, as well as those big seamer, big hitting all rounders as well coming through.
Yeah, talking of spin, Nonkululeko Mlaba, as I said, the second highest wicket taker in the tournament. she had a tremendous time. I'm just putting up her stats here. 12 wickets in the tournament in six matches at an average of just 11.3 and 5.66 runs per over she conceded, second only to Amelia Kerr, who was the player of the match and the player of the final and player of the tournament. Paul, Mnaba's a left-arm spinner like you. What do you make of her bowling?
Oh, she got very good control. I think that's the key to bowling. She knows where to land it. Bowls good lengths and bowls good lines and doesn't really miss. So experienced campaigner as well now. So knows what she's doing. As I said, I think that she's improved a lot. I think she's got a bit stronger and can bowl ball a bit quicker as well, which helps in the ladies' game as a spinner. I think she's certainly a standout performer in this World Cup, clearly with her stats. And, you know, what an asset for the team to have someone that can come in and you can sort of bank on them every single time. It's almost like Keshav Maharaj in the men's side, as you can just sort of rely and bank on the left arm spinner on your side. It really makes life a little bit easier. So well done to her. I think she's a fantastic bowler and getting better and better with time.
Speaking of Keshav Maharaj, let's move on to the men's team, because this morning they've completed what I thought was a very good test victory against Bangladesh in Mirpur, Dhaka, winning by 7 wickets. And Keshav Maharaj, he had another very good game for South Africa, 3 wickets in each innings. I guess the real bowling hero, though, was Kagiso Rabada. Superb in the first innings. He took 3 for 26 on his way to reaching 300 test wickets. The fastest man in the history of test cricket to get to 300 test wickets in terms of balls bowled. So that's an incredible feather in his cap. And then in the Bangladesh second innings, Rabada was absolutely superb again, 6 for 46 to wrap up things this morning. Bangladesh all out for 307, leaving the Proteas with 106 to win. And they got there with 3 wickets down in 22 overs. Tony DeZorzi, 41. And Tristan Stubbs, 30 not out. John, just that performance, winning the test match in Mirpur, just how good was that?
Yeah, I think that that start from Rabada really was excellent. I think he's set the tone just on that, you know, reaching that feat in that short amount of time is phenomenal. It's the quickest you'll ever see it, I think. And the pity, as a lot of people have said, is that, you know, he's playing half, you know, maybe a third of the tests or the other three nations are playing a year. So, you know, if he's playing as many as them, he could be mid-500s quite comfortably, quite quickly. But it isn't the case. But I'm glad to see him here, you know, playing. I think there's been, along with other fast bowlers who are really good, they've been rested, and Janssens, and you think of Norkiers and all the others, they're sort of rotating them in a way. And I'm really glad he got that opportunity, and he really won us the game, along with obviously a Varane, a brilliant innings from him. But I think when that ball gets a little bit older there, it just becomes quite a lot harder to displace the batsman. We saw yesterday when they had that huge partnership at the end, and it's extremely tough to get them out. It's just you settle in, the ball gets softer, bit easier. You'd think the spinners have always got a chance, to be honest, in those conditions, but they seem to put a big partnership together. And I think they were a little bit worried yesterday afternoon with that that lead just growing a little bit, but luckily it didn't get much past 100.
Yeah, Paul, you played in Bangladesh, or I think 2008 tour, was it? Weren't you there?
I was there for the one day, actually. I was But I have toured there quite a bit. I toured there with the A side, played quite a lot of cricket ground. Nice ground for the spinning. It turns and slow. I was quite surprised how much was in it for the seamers, to be honest with you, especially in that first session. It really did go around and really suited our bowling attack. Having said that, we only had 2 seamers. I thought Mulder was superb. He's proving me wrong. He seems to be proving me wrong every time he plays a test match. And well done to him, but he bowled superbly in that opening spell. And then Rabada, I mean, there's not enough words you can use to describe how good he is and how lucky we are to have him. He's just a phenomenal performer. He doesn't seem to get too flustered. He just does his job. He looks like he's incredibly strong. Touch wood, doesn't look like it's possible to break him. And just a phenomenal performance. And to do it, I can't remember exactly how many balls less it was than the next person, but I mean, it's a ridiculous amount. He hasn't just beaten the record, he's absolutely shattered it. And I echo John's sentiments in the fact that we should be playing more test cricket. We should be seeing more of a Rabada. He's only 30. I mean, he could play for a little while still and break all records. So pity he doesn't play as much, but when he does, it sure is great to watch.
Yeah, Rabada, the guy who's behind him is Waqar Yunus. So not as if the competition isn't great. I mean, Waqar Yunus, one of the all-time greats. He had the previous record for the least balls to get to 300. And, you know, in the history of Test cricket, no one who has taken 200 Test wickets, let alone 300, has ever had a strike rate of less than 40. And Kagiso Rabada is on 39. So, yeah, Paul, you did right. We really can't say enough about just what a great fast bowler he's been. And even in, you know, it was surprising how much the ball went around on that first day. But, John, as you said, once that ball gets soft in Bangladesh, it's tough for the bowlers. And they've got to work really hard. So fantastic for Kagiso Rabada. Vyaan Moorda, as you say, really contributing well in that attack. And, of course, Keshav Maharaj, good as ever. John, just to focus in a bit more on the batting. I guess the top order in that first innings, again, a little bit of a worry, collapsing to 108 for six. But then Kyle Verena, it's his first innings ever on the subcontinent. And he had Vyaan Moorda really turning things around with that partnership of 119. What do you think makes Verena such a good player, and especially in those conditions?
Yeah, I think he's really dominated on domestic fronts. A lot of stuff in white ball as well. I just think in general in franchise cricket, he's starting to get big runs consistently, which is great. He had opportunities in the test side, you know, before where he's played a couple of really poor shots, I thought. At Newlands, I think he tried to pull a ball off a length and hit it straight up in the air. And that was a bit of a low point, I think, for him. So he's had to work a little bit harder and try and be more consistent. But I'm also pleased for Moorda getting that half century in that partnership, his first one as well. So Paul said he is starting to find his range and his feet now at this level. So it's positive from that front. But Verena also has you see him when he's keeping as well in the game, how he's not scared to have a word. And he'll speak his mind and he won't hold back. And he's like a fighter. You know, he's a real scrapper in those situations. And that's what you got to love. In teams, there's guys who are pretty quiet and get on with business or you know, and he's quite the opposite, where he gets right stuck in. He wants a bit of confrontation. He wants a bit of niggle. And it seems to bring out the best of him. When you talked about the top order, obviously still guys settling in, fairly new in their test careers. Bretsky got given the opportunity. I was a little bit disappointed, I suppose, with that when he left the ball with his left foot was sort of outside leg stump to a left-arm spinner, pitching it on the stumps and hitting the stumps. So that was, yeah, obviously a bit of nerves, people around the bat. He obviously didn't handle it so well on this occasion. But, you know, Shukri Khanna is giving him opportunities. You know, he's identified him. He obviously likes what he sees. And he's given him a shot. So let's see if he takes his opportunity.
It's Kyle Verena's character that I really enjoy too, John and Paul. He just strikes me as the sort of guy that when the team is under pressure, when conditions are tough, it brings out the best in them. I've seen him play a lot of innings domestically that have really turned the tide for his team. And as you say, it's great to have those sort of personalities in the team. Matthew Bierska, yeah, unfortunate to get a duck on debut. Themba Bavuma, of course, is expected to be fit for the second test in Chattagram that starts on Tuesday. So one would think he will probably come in for Matthew Bierska. Paul Harris, Any other changes you would consider for Chattergram?
Yeah, look, I didn't think Pete bowled particularly well, I must admit. I thought he was, especially in that second innings, I thought he bowled poorly, although they did take him on to go, you know, fives on that wicket. I didn't think it, he hit his straps really well. So they might look at playing another seamer. It doesn't turn as much. I see that. I hear they've changed the name there, but I still call it Chittagong.
You call it other things.
Yeah, other things as well. But yeah, so look, I wouldn't be surprised if they bring another seamer into the mix. You know, it's a winning team, so it's hard to make too many changes. Maybe they give Pete another go, depending on what the wicket looks like. Just adding to Verena, I mean, I was very impressed with the way he played the spinners. He used the sweep and the reverse sweep incredibly well. It wasn't always to hit boundaries, and I think that's the key to facing spin in the subcontinent, to rotate strike. The amount of times the ball, but it was only a one, which was fine because he got off strike. And you know, they managed to get three, four, sometimes five singles every over, him and Mulder, which was really impressive in conditions that were really suited to spin bowling. So for guys that haven't seen that much, you've got to give them credit to the way they played. Verena is another one that is proving me wrong. Long may it continue. I thought he played absolutely superbly. You know, his game plan was spot on, and he executed it well. So I don't see too many changes. Obviously, the one force change, Temba will definitely come back in if he's fit. So one of the batters will sit out. And you know, we might play an extra seamer. But other than that, I don't see too many changes happening.
What about Paul? I was just having a think about it, about the likes of Sir Brian's an off-spinner, Palmer's an off-spinner. You know, is that a realistic competition right now, or you know, is it worth trying other options? Or
look, I think it all depends on the conditions. It depends on the wicket. I think it would be a bit harsh on Pete if you know, if he's left out in the next test, we play another spinner. You know, he's the second guy. He got the sort of reins. You want to give him a crack. I think it'll all be conditions based. I think if they think they need, you know, it's quite tough having only two seamers in a side. Especially when you don't have a sort of a batter, you know, that can bowl a bit to bowl seamers. You've got someone like Adam Markram that could bowl or spin if needed. So it all depends on the conditions. We are on the subcontinent, so I don't see the change, but that would be the only one that I think that I would look at in terms of, other than Bavuma, obviously, is to do you play another seamer or do you keep the same sort of bowling lineup?
Yeah. Paul, just going back to your talking about Kyle Verena sweeping so well, just explain to the listeners what it does to a spin bowler when a batter is continually just sweeping for one, you know, conventional sweep, reverse sweep, constantly rotating strike.
Yeah, look, it messes up your lengths as a spin bowler if someone's sweeping well. Is there a risk in the shot? Sure. But if you play it correctly and you play it well and you do it consistently, it's very hard to bowl to. I found when guys swept me well, they didn't really sweep me a lot. Tall, hard to sweep a taller bowler where the, you know, Bangladeshi left-arm spinner is not really tall. Quite hard to sweep Kesha of Maharaj as well because he gets a lot of overspin and a bit of bounce. But when it's played well, it does mess up your lengths. When someone's sweeping you, you tend to go shorter. That's what you want to do. You want to go shorter so the ball bounces a bit more and you can get the top edge. Problem is, if he doesn't sweep you, then he's ruined your length. So it does mess with your lengths. It can be quite frustrating because you feel like you're always in the game and you're missing. But it certainly is a very good tactic when played well. I remember Hashim Amla doing it in England to Graham Swan. I think every single time the ball was outside his eye line, he swept it. And when you got, I think you're 300 at the oval doing that. So, you know, when you do it well, it really is tough as a spinner. To combat it, and you know, he did it superbly well. It's obviously his shot. He practices it a lot, both the reverse and the normal sweep. And I mean, you know, it's one thing having a plan, it's another thing executing it, and he executed it really, really well.
I love the sweep. I'm a big fan of the sweep. Yeah, I'm probably my favorite shot. Yeah, John, I don't recall you being that much of a sweeper. You always used to stand tall and, you know, drive it down the ground. The straight bat shots were more your forte.
No, I didn't mind actually the sweep and reverse and slog sweep. I didn't mind that too much. I played a bit of hockey, so I suppose situational, like you say. Yeah, I didn't mind it in the in the one-day stuff and the slog sweeps, those sort of things. But I think a lot of Ken, funny enough, a lot of batters sweep if they don't know which way the ball's turning. Ask Paul. I think Imran Tahir got swept his whole career. They didn't know which way it was turning.
Yeah, it kind of covers both the ball turning into you or away from you, isn't it? It's hedging your bets. Speaking of sweeping, the DP World Lions have swept their way into the CSA T20 Challenge final. They beat the Titans earlier this week by 7 wickets with 4 overs to spare. And they're going to be playing the winners of Friday's match between the Titans and Western Province at SuperSport Park. Guys, that Lions team, obviously the defending champions in the T20 competition, do you get the feeling that they're peaking at the right time again?
Yeah, I mean, they're obviously a very good side. I mean, they're winning a lot of trophies, not just T20 stuff. They're producing, really well the last few years. They've got a pretty well-balanced team. They've got some good experience there with Reza Hendricks and Rusty van der Dissen. And then some youngsters that have come in and done very well. So it seems like they've got their act together in the Highveld. They gave my favorite team a bit of a hiding the other day. I must say, the only reason why I watch these days is to watch Rulf van der Merwe bowl. It's so much fun watching him go still. But yeah, very, very good side. They are the side to beat in the tournament. I think they're the most well-balanced team floating around out there. And good to see them doing so well. I'd love to see the Titans maybe upset them. Still got a chance, but they'll have to play really well. It's a really, really top-class team.
John, your feelings about the Lions? Do you think they can go all the way?
Yeah, I think they're well-balanced. And also, I think they were quite tactically brilliant in that game because, how many times have we seen Bjorn Fortein take the new ball? And it was quite strange not seeing him bowl. And then he bowled in the 11th over or something like that. So Domingo and them had a bit of a different ploy, a different approach. They bowled a few more seamers. So nice to see, that sort of background tactical sort of work being done. And it worked brilliantly, I thought. Mapaka and Peter really, they are becoming a serious combination, you'd say, for them, along with all the other, regular suspects in that bowling attack. That experience in the top of the order also is very helpful. And that's really what the likes of the Evan Joneses and the Port Hitters to hit if it comes to that. So they've got a really nicely balanced side at the moment. But I still think the Titans, they've got Inform, Munsami, they've got, Ferreira, they've got Klaassen. So, if they get another chance in that final, I wouldn't not back them, put it that way. They got a really good chance if they make the final as well.
Yeah, John, I mean, you just look at that Titans lineup that lost to the Wanderers, and I mean, it's Heinrich Klaassen, it's Donovan Ferreira, Rulof van der Merwe, Tabraiz Shamsi, Junior Dala, Gerald Kutsia, Andile Paklakwaya. So it's packed with a lot of, real quality white ball players and experienced white ball players. So I'm with you. I think it would actually be a brilliant final if the Titans get to take on the Lions again at the Wanderers. The Titans, of course, gave the Lions an almighty hiding at the Wanderers in the first game of the season. So it's kind of one all between the two teams. So I think for most of us, we'll be hoping that Titans get through to that final. Paula Ngaba Peter, the leg spinner. How good is that slider of his? Would you call it a slider? I mean, he's bowling good batsman with that delivery.
Look, again, very good control for a youngster. It's great to see. He's got a really big future ahead of him. He seems like he's someone that's really hungry. Spoken to a few of the guys. He's not short of confidence, which is great. Backs himself, but the really good thing about him is his control. It's probably the hardest thing to do in cricket, leg spin, besides maybe open the batting in South African conditions. It's really not an easy craft. So to see a young guy like him with so much control really bodes well for the rest of his career. I think he's hugely exciting. I think we're going to see a lot of him in the green and gold going forward. You'll have to work at his game as he goes along. Guys will sort of try to find ways to work him out, and maybe look for that slider and plan differently. But at the moment, he really is one to look out for, and hugely exciting to see a leg spinner come through the ranks.
Yeah, so in last night's match, which was the eliminator, I must say I like this format where one plays two on the log, and the winner of that automatically goes to the final. Three plays four to eliminate one team, and then the winner of the eliminator plays the loser of the first qualifier for the other place in the final. Western Province beat the Northwest Dragons by 41 runs. But I have to say, it was one of the biggest mind implosions I've seen for a long time by the Dragons. They were chasing 166, and they were 77 for two in the eighth over. Mikael Prince and Vian Lubbe going great guns. I mean, they had the game by the scruff of its neck. And then they lost their last eight wickets for 48 runs. John, what did you make of that? Really, quite extraordinary game at the Wanderers last night.
Yeah, I think that partnership between Libba and Prince was brilliant in terms of the second part of the power play. They smashed it. They were going at almost, yeah, like you say, 10 and over really, and flying along, and Western Province were under big pressure. I think the Western Province were pretty good in terms of their spinners. Simmons bowled a couple of brilliant arm balls, and his variation has come on quite a bit, which I haven't seen for a while. And Linda, obviously, with a bat, he came fresh out some runs and got them a decent total and bowled brilliantly. So those two combined really well. But I think, as you say, like the implosion of that batting order was, they played a lot of bowlers. So they didn't bat as deep as they probably a lot of other teams. So you saw the likes of Jansen coming in. And I was a little bit disappointed, to be honest, with his sort of stroke. It was a bit of a heave across the line and got bowled when you needed to run a ball. So, for me, that's, you just got to apply yourself a little bit. He's playing at the highest level. You know what I mean? Show the people, how to win a game here. And it's a perfect moment for him to win a game. So that was a particularly disappointing, I think. But like you say, just a 20 or a 30 from someone, would have got them over the line, but the province just got their momentum. They kept taking wickets and comfortable in the end.
Yeah, it certainly was a marvelous fight back by Western Province in the field. They looked like a team that's got plenty of determination, tenacity, and the ability just to put off moments of magic, like George Linda diving full length at a wide mid-on for a spectacular one-handed grab that got rid of Yannamon Malan, and Mpongwana taking an incredible one-handed catch low to his left at slip to dismiss Kerwin Mungroo off George Lindo. So it's going to be a very exciting finish to the CSA T20 Challenge tournament. And it's also the finish of this podcast. We thank you very much for listening. And a very big thank you to John Kent and Paul Harris and to our producer, John Gericke. And just a reminder that we'll be back in the next week or so with the next episode. And you can contact us on X on @dotballpodcast. Thanks very much for listening, and goodbye.